Our scripture for this morning comes from Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 20. And I want to share that with you today. Again, this is Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 20. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. This is the word of God for us, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
So this morning I want to start you off with a little bit of a music lesson. Okay, some of you will be more familiar with this than others. Okay, so it goes a little bit like this, and I encourage you to try to clap along or tap along or whatever. Okay, right. You ain't nothing but a hound dog, fighting all the time. There ain't nothing but a hound dog crying all the time. Ain't never caught a rabbit and you ain't no friend of mine. Right? Now, what do you notice about that song? First of all, it's old, right? What do you notice about the song? Where are you clapping? What are we doing there, Ron?
Clapping on the beat.
Yeah, we're clapping on the offbeat, right? It's the offbeat. It's called in rock and roll, it's called the backbeat. Okay, so for example, when we were singing "Victory in Jesus," it's 1 and 3. I heard an old story how a Savior came from glory. Right, that's how traditional songs are. But rock and roll had this wonderful thing called the backbeat, where you emphasize the beat that was supposed to be the offbeat. And it's what, even when you're not paying attention, it's what makes rock and roll work, right? Is that it has that kind of wheelbarrow thing going on, where you're hitting the bump each time you go along, and that's part of what makes it so wonderful. But the deal is, I don't know how many of y'all have grown up with this, but I remember growing up in Little Mitchell County, okay, and we would have, you know, assemblies or things like that, and somebody would sing, or we'd have at church somebody would sing a more modern song in the church service, and the congregation would try to clap along, and what would inevitably happen is right. And I'll never forget my principal in middle school. He, bless his heart, had no rhythm whatsoever, and so, but he would enthusiastically clap along. And what happens is, if you don't get the beat, then you can't sing the song, right? Amen. If you aren't able to stay with the beat of the rock, then you're lost while the music's going, right? You can't concentrate on the words if you're somehow bouncing over here off the side of the road, right? And so when I talked this morning, I was thinking about what it means to be on the beat, what it means to have the rock, what it means to be in with the song that's being sung. And so we have this scripture this morning from Matthew, and Jesus is walking along with the disciples, and he's doing what rabbis did, right? Teachers in Jesus' time, especially religious teachers, walked around with their followers and taught them things. And you're literally a disciple because you follow in the steps of the one who's teaching. And so Jesus is walking around with his disciples, and he's telling them, "Who do you think that I am?" But first he asked them, "Who do other people say that I am?" Right? And the thing is, Jesus was on earth and he was singing a song and he was playing music, but that music and that beat was different from the music and the beat of the world, right?
Yeah.
You see, the world was telling everybody that what it meant to be a follower of God was that you followed all the rules, that you clapped on the one and the three, among other things, that you took your sacrifices to the temple at the right time, and that you said the right things, and you made all of your sacrifices, and you did the things that were right there in the law, right? That was how you showed you loved God. And Jesus comes along, and his song is different. Jesus' song is that the law is great, except unless you love your neighbor, then it doesn't matter. That it's great to offer the sacrifices, but if you don't do it with a great and joyful heart, like our sermon about last week, then it's meaningless, right? So Jesus comes into the world and he's singing a different song, and all these people are saying, well, the only thing that this guy could be, right? He's doing all this cool stuff and he's saying really amazing things that we don't understand. The only thing he could possibly be is Elijah, okay? So does everybody know Elijah? Remember what happens to him at the end of his story? Right? Elijah has like a heavy metal exit, right? He gets in a chariot and he rides to glory, right? Like this is something off a Meatloaf album or something, right? He rides to glory on his chariot and he doesn't die. And so there was a tradition that someday among Jewish folks, that someday Elijah would return as the greatest of the prophets, that he would return because he didn't actually die, right? And so they said, well, that must be who Jesus is. Others say, oh, that you're Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. And that's great. And that is what's happening there is people are trying to understand what this new beat is. And they're trying to clap along with it, but they can't quite get it, right? They're doing the step, clap, step, clap, step, clap thing, right? And we all know that we sometimes get off the beat. And that's what was happening. The people who were the religious establishment were trying to fit Jesus, this new sound, into the old sound, right? Trying to put new wine in old wineskins, right? They were trying to fit Jesus somewhere where he didn't quite fit. Jesus, it's not that the old way of doing religion was bad. It's that Jesus was transcending what was going on. That Jesus was something wholly new, something special, something that took over for what was old and was now new. Some of you, how many of you, and I'm not trying to go for an age thing, okay? How many of you grew up listening to something like Elvis? Okay? How did your parents, what did they think about Elvis? Okay, we got one thumbs up. Most of them were not too big of fans of Elvis. Why? He danced funny, right? All that hip movement and stuff. Oh, no, we can't do that, right? If you can't dance at the school, then you really can't do Elvis's type of dancing, right? But his music was different, right? It had black influences, right? Many of his early, much of Elvis's early music is just straight music from black artists that he recorded because he was able to make it popular, right? There was an element of this is music that we don't listen to. There was also an element of look, this is just different. It's faster. It's got a weird beat. I don't like it, right? It's not what I grew up with. And then what happens is, as we get older, right? We do that with some other music, right? Amen. Maybe y'all liked Elvis, but the Beatles was a step too far. Or, you know, the Rolling Stones or something like that, right? I don't like that because it's not the right beat, right? Every generation does it, right? My generation is looking at something like, I don't know, Megan Thee Stallion or something and saying, oh, we can't listen to that because it's too this, too that. It's too different. Y'all probably don't even know who that is. But the thing is, as we get it stuck in one beat, we decide that that's the only beat, right? Amen. Why do I listen to the classic rock station? Because it's what I grew up with, right? We get into a certain beat and a certain tone, and we say that's the only way that it works. But Jesus came into the world, and he had a new beat, a new song. And that song was special and it was better than the old song. Because this song brought us into relationship with the Father, right? This song wasn't about obligation. This song was about love. This song wasn't about how much farther above us God was than us. This song was about how God had come to be among us. And God had come to be one of us. And this song was different, but it took adjustment. And in order to get into something, you have to admit that maybe you were wrong in the beginning. And I don't know about you, but I don't like to be wrong about anything, right? I don't like to change my mind about anything. I can tell you, y'all know this about me. I am a big North Carolina basketball, well, anything fan, okay? It's tough when it's football season. But when it's basketball season, it's usually pretty good, right? But as a Carolina fan, I don't like Duke, okay? And so who's your main antagonist if you don't like Duke? Coach K, right? I've had to grudgingly admit, and I hate doing this, that not only is he an excellent coach, but he also seems to be a really good person, right? Now, I hate to admit that, right? He's the bad guy. I don't want to get on the beat with him, except I have to acknowledge that he has done really good things with his young men and in his community and all of that, right? I have to admit that if I'm going to be honest, okay? Now, in order to get on the beat with Jesus, the people of his time had to realize who he was and what he was doing and what his place was. And all these people were desperately trying to make Jesus be somebody that they could claim, right? How can he be Elijah? How can he be Jeremiah? How can he be one of ours? And instead, Jesus was just Jesus. He was God's son. Amen. And Peter, who always gets everything wrong, right? Peter, that lovable goofball who messes up immediately after this, right? But this time, you could see him. I feel like Peter, in his soul, he's trying to get on the beat. He's trying and he's off and he says, wait a minute, I get it. I get it. It's on 2 and 4. And he finally gets the beat. And he says, I know who you are. You are the Messiah, the promised one, the Son of the Most High God. Man. That's who you are. Right? And Peter realizes who Jesus is. And in that moment, Jesus says, yes, you got it. And you're blessed, not because you came up with this out of your own heart, but because this has been revealed to you. And now Peter's on the beat. And the wonderful thing is, right, with Ron leading us in the clapping, did you have any trouble staying on the beat? No, right? What happens is if one person gets it, two people get it. Amen. And when two people get it, three people get it. And suddenly it spreads. And all the disciples suddenly knew, of course, that's who Jesus is. That's who we're following. We're not just following a great preacher. We're not just following some reincarnated prophet. We are following the Son of the Most High God, the Promised One. And with that, Peter is no longer Simon. He's now the rock on which the church is built. Now, there's a lot of people who will take that saying and say, oh yeah, see, you have to trace back your church all the way to Peter because he's the one on whom the church is built. I want to ask you, what if, just maybe, the rock that Jesus is talking about is the faith, the trust that Peter had in Christ at that moment? What if that's the bedrock on which the church is built? Amen. It's not that Peter is any more important than you or me, or Bartholomew, or you know, James and John and Peter and or James, John and Andrew. He's not more important than them. Instead, though, his faith, his getting on the beat, that is what is required as the bedrock in order to be a follower of Christ, right? That trust, that faith. Oftentimes when I talk to young people, their biggest stumbling block or whatever for understanding Jesus is the concept of faith. They'll say to me, but I don't know if I believe X, Y, and Z. Right? I don't know if I believe that a woman who is a virgin could have a baby. I don't know if I believe that somebody can die and come back to life. I don't know if I believe this, that, and the other, right? And they have all these different things that they remember from scriptures. I don't know if I believe in that. And I tell them, look, believing in someone is different than believing in something. When we say we believe in Christ, take out the word believe and replace it with trust. That's what we're really doing when we say we believe in Jesus, right? We're saying, I trust that Jesus is the Son of God. We're saying, I trust that Jesus is the one that if I get on the beat with him, then I'm walking in the way that leads to life eternal. It's like when you're growing up and you're riding in the car. Anybody remember riding in a car with mom or dad driving? Right? Were you worried and concerned that you wouldn't get where you were going? I see somebody's here with mom, right? But generally, right, like I can remember we used to go on these trips, these epic trips with my dad and my mom and dad, and we would drive hundreds of miles, turn around and come back because we were scouting something out. We were doing what my dad called a dry run, figuring out the roads. This was before GPS, okay? And we would get there and we'd turn around and come back, and it would snow and it would rain and it would hail and it was all this awful weather. And you know what I was doing in the back? I was reading books. Why could I do that? Because I trusted the one who was driving the car. I knew that my dad was not going to run us off a cliff. I knew that he was going to get us where we were going and back home. That's what it means to trust in Christ. That's what it means to believe in Jesus, right? Not all the other things, right? We don't have to check off boxes to prove that we're a good enough follower of Jesus. That's not what it's about. It's, do I trust that Jesus is the Messiah? Do I trust that Jesus is the anointed one, the Son of God, the one who has been sent to this world to redeem us, the one who has been sent to this world to bring us closer to God, to renew our relationship with God the Father? If I trust that, then I have that faith that Peter had. That's that rock on which the church is built. And so I want you to think about, put yourself in Peter's place. You're walking in your spiritual life with Jesus. And Jesus says to you, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? That is the biggest question for us as followers of Jesus. Because what you answer affects how you live your life. If you, like Peter, say you are the Son of God, you are the Messiah, the Son of the Father, right? Amen. Then that affects how you live your life. That will affect who you love. That will affect who you oppose. If you believe that Jesus is the King, then that means that there's no other King, right? If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God who has died and been raised again for the sins of the world, then that means that you cannot have this idea that somehow because of where you were born, that you are somehow more inherently superior than anyone else. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and he speaks for the Father, then when he says, love your neighbor as yourself, then you cannot hate your neighbor, right? If you believe, if you trust in Jesus, then the way that you walk, the way that you talk, the people that you associate with, how you spend your money, all of that is affected because of who you say Jesus is. And it's all about being able to be on the beat. And folks, I'm here to tell you that we are going to look like we are clapping off the beat with the world. Because the world tells us that what's most important is power. The world tells us that what's most important is money. The world tells us that the thing we should be following is consumerism. The thing that we should be following is nationalism. The thing that we should be following is hatred and division and all these different things that are anti what Christ stands for. Amen. And yet, Jesus is there with the beat. The beat that we can pick up and we can follow. We can follow that rock music. Not any sort of worldly music right now. I have my preferences and you have yours. But that's not what's important. What's important is that we can get the beat. That we can follow Jesus' beat. That we know whose music we're singing and we know where we're going and we follow it. And we don't get off. And we say, look, Lord, I trust you. I will follow you wherever that is. whether that's to the cross, whether that's to eternal life, whether that's to people we don't normally like, whether that's to the people who we are adamantly opposed to. One thing it's always going to lead us to, that message is always going to lead us to love. That beat is always going to lead us to Christ. That beat is always going to lead us to God. So I encourage you today, get on the beat. Learn to follow. Learn to be. To rock on with Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.